I want to discuss some ideas about the Nusach HaTfilah, the Nusach on the Machzor of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, first I want to bring out an idea. Okay, let's first discuss, this is a fascinating idea. For me, it was kedai to buy the Sefer just for this. That's how excited I am about this. Paradis Yosef HaChodesh. The Paradis of the Chodesh, this idea to me is awesome. You can go your whole life. I feel like I missed out on knowing this my whole life. Okay, you go your whole life, you don't know some of the basics. We know that on Rosh Hashanah, on Musaf, the first day, Rosh Hashanah at Musaf, we have a piyut called Melech Elyon.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Melech Elyon. What?
Only the first day.
Yes. Only the first day. And then on the second day, Rosh Hashanah, we say Melech Elyon at Shachris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a very long Melech Elyon Shachris. And on Yom Kippur, I don't remember. What do we do on Yom Kippur? I don't look at Yom Kippur. We do it. It's Musaf. It's Musaf. We do it on Shachris.
No, Shachris.
Not Musaf.
In Yom Kippur, Imru Lelekim.
Okay. Okay. I didn't get a chance to look at the Machzor for Musaf. Okay. But let's just focus for the moment now on Rosh Hashanah. Now, did you ever notice? Did you now, after you say, we say all the Melech Elyon, at the very end, we say Melech Evyon. We compare the Melech Elyon to the Melech Evyon. And then we close it, and then we open again. Avol Melech Elyon. Okay, then we conclude with Melech Elyon. Okay, so this is what, now the question over here is, why does the Melech Evyon get gypped?
only two,
and the Melech Elyon gets so many. So it's this, and also, what is the Shaychus, these last two lines to the end? So this is something very fascinating. First, if you look at the Melech Elyon, if you'll notice, there's a sequence in the letters of the Aleph Beis. The Aleph Beis letters skip. Did you notice this? Oh, you know this? Oh, you know this?
Every
other letter. Very good. How do you know this? You knew this, okay. I don't know. The first one, only on the first day Rosh Hashanah. Not the second day Rosh Hashanah at Shachris. There it skips around. There it's not in order. There's no Seder at all. So it starts off, Kel Dor Bamorom, that's Aleph. Hashem who lives on high, Adir Bamorom, mighty on high, Oymeit Tziyod Betorom. The second one is Gibor Lehakim, Gimel. Oh, I'm going to come back. So we skip from Aleph to Gimel. Then we go from Gimel, the next one is Hamedaber Bitztok. We go to the letter Hey.
Only the odd numbers.
And then we go to Zoicher, Zayin, Toiv Shoichinad. Then we go to Kasalmo Ischof. Then we go to Melech Oilamim, Soivel Hakol, Pe'eroi Oiz, Kidoishav Lahav, Kuf. What comes after Kuf? What we skip Reish, then we go to Shin. Sheino Ein Lifanov. Okay, what's going to be the last one? The last one is Avol Melech Elyon Tokfai. Why does the last one begin with a Tof after we have a break of the two of the Melech Elyons? Because of Tof. So basically, what we've done over here is there are 11 clauses, and the 11 correspond to half of the letters of the Aleph Beis, all of the odd numbers. All of the numbers, we skip every other letter. Now, it used to be, this is what it says here in the Sefer, in the Parashat Chodesh, it used to be, I don't even know if we have it anymore, maybe they do have it, that the piyut had in between every Melech Elyon had a Melech Evyon. Not like what we do, and we put at the very end of the piyut, we put two Melech Evyons. So, you know, we do all the Melech Elyons, and then at the end we give a token donation to the Melech Evyon, we throw in two. That's not the way the original piyut was composed. The original piyut was composed with 22 stanzas. And every even stanza was a description of the Melech Evyon. And that's why, when do you ever have a piyut where you skip every other letter? Do you ever find a piyut? Look, I think of all the piyut in the Aliyah on Tisha B'Av. I don't think there's such a thing. I don't recall such a thing. Where there's a piyut where you skip every other letter. There are piyut of Atbash. There are piyut in all different set of the Alpes. But you don't have piyut in when you only focus on a section. You skip letters of the Alpes. You don't skip. The original piyut...
Take a look at my Machzor. He has a lot of...
Oh, so check out. So the original piyut had a Melech Evyon. They were after each one. over the years, for whatever reason, davening got a little bit too long. I don't know. Well, everything we do now, maybe not. Maybe they kept it open. Maybe I don't know. Maybe that was how it happened. Maybe it was too much to open and close every single time, so they stopped doing it. Or maybe they just kept it closed. Who says you have to keep it open the whole time? You keep it open. Don't keep it open. It's not a big deal. Open. Don't open it.
That's tired of getting up and sitting down.
Okay. So originally, now what's the proof to this? What is the proof to this? Because we over time, after over years, it became too long, so we omitted all of the evens. And just at the very end, we threw in two. What's the proof? Because the proof is, what do we throw in? Beis, Bola, Vorod, Shachas, and the first one, and the last one of Tenuma, Teufenu. After Shin, what's the last one? The last one is Shena Ein Lefanov, Sheket Bifninov. What comes after Shin? Tough. What's tough? Tenuma, Teufenu. Sleep.
The
first and left. The bays, bolov. So in other words, bays. Now, why does this make sense? Like, this is something very beautiful. What is the first one? What is the theme of the first line in the piyut? Kel Hashem, who is Dor Ba Moroim, who lives in the highest place. Then when we say the letter bays, the letter bays, the Melech Evyon Bola Vorod Shachas. You see, the beis perfectly corresponds to the aleph. What is the test? What is the? See, here it goes to show that it's out of order. What do we say about the melech elyon, the tof, the last one? Tokvay lo'ad, Hashem's power is lo'ad. Tifaratay adayad. And what does it say about the melech elyon? What is the shin? What is the shin? The shin of the Melech Elyon is Shena. Ein Lefanav. Hashem does not sleep. What is the corresponding? The letter after shin is Tof. Tenuma Teufenu. He's overtaken by sleep. A Melech Elyon sleeps most of the day. The Malachim, they get up at 9 hours. They get up at 9 o'clock in the morning. 3 hours into the day. Tenuma Teufenu. So it's perfect. It goes to show that originally, the piyut of Melech Elyon had 22 lines. In between each stanza of the Melech Elyon was the Melech Evyon. And the Melech Evyon always corresponded to the theme of the Melech Elyon. Somehow, over the years, the piyut got too long and we decided to omit all of the Melech Evyons. And just we threw in at the very end, we threw in the last two, the first one and the last one. Now the problem with this is, because on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, at Shachris, when we say Melech Elyon, it's a different Melech Elyon. Mm-hmm. Completely different. And that Melech Elyon does not have, it skips around. There's no order to the Aleph Beis. There is no Seder. The letters skip around. There is no Seder at all. And then at the very end, we throw in the same two Melech Evyons. So the question is, what is it doing there? It's Bishlaima in this piyut, the two Melech Evyons, Bolo, Vorod, Shachas, Tumima, Tufenu. It makes sense because that was a part of the original. But on the second day, Rosh Hashanah, so either it was never written the Melech Evyon for the second day Rosh Hashanah, or it was written the Melech Evyon and the entire thing was forgotten, and for somehow the Melech Evyons of the first day Rosh Hashanah somehow were put in over there on the second day to finish off the Melech Elyon on the second day Rosh Hashanah, what we say at Shachris.
What you could also say is that these Melech Evyons that were left out were already not known in the days of Reb Shimon HaGadol.
Why do you want to say that?
Because he wrote the second day and he didn't...
Well, he wasn't original. He wasn't original. He was recalling from memory what people were saying.
No, what I'm saying is that the original one was written by Lazar HaKalir.
Okay.
The second day, all the Yutim and Shachris were written by Reb Shimon HaGadol.
Yeah.
Reb Shimon HaGadol.
Rashi's uncle. The one who had a son that became the Pope.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's the story with Elchanan. Elchanan was a son. But what do you call it? It could have already been forgotten in that time that he was showing you.
Okay. Okay, let's discuss another issue. Okay, a couple of short things. The piyut lekel oirech din.
Yeah.
There's always a discussion in shul, when do you say Lekel Oirech Din?
On the second day.
On the second day. On the first day, Rosh Hashanah. On the first day, everyone says Lekel Oirech Din. It's a very solemn tefillah. It's a very serious. Boichin levavos b'yom din, right? Legoyle amukos badin. It's a very solemn tefillah. On the first day Rosh Hashanah we say shachris. On the second day Rosh Hashanah there are different minhagim. Some say it shachris, some say it musaf. So it appears most say you really be proper to say it musaf. Why? Why do we switch when we say Lekel Oirech Din? So some want to suggest, because there's a machlekes in the Gemara, when is the moment of Din? When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge Klal Yisrael? Does he judge HaKadosh Yisrael in the beginning of the day? The first 3 hours of the day? Or in the second 3 hours of the day? So therefore, in order to be Mekayim, Elu v'Elu, Divi Elokim Chayim, we are Merame, since there are two opinions in the Gemara, what exactly is the moment of Din? Is it the beginning of the day? Or is it later in the day? On the first day, Rosh Hashanah, we say Lekel Oirech Din in the beginning of the day. And the second day, Rosh Hashanah, we say it on the second 3 hours of the day. It's in Mekayim. Well, we have a tradition. Yeah, there are certain elements of din on the first day, and there are certain elements of din that take place on the second day. Okay, let's go to another idea. In the nusach of Nisane Taikef, there's an extra word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Let us relate the Nisane Taikef Kedush Sayyam Kihu Noyav Ayoim Uvo Sinase Malchusecha V'Yikoin B'Chesed Chisecha V'Seishev Olav Be'emes. Now, by the way, you all know that the one who wrote this piyut was Rabbi Amnon. Rabbi Amnon lived
Mimainz,
he lived in Mainz, so he lived before the time of Rashi. He was one of the early Rishonim, and the Mainz there was where he was persuaded by the secular government, whoever it was, to convert to Christianity.
By the bishop.
To convert to Christianity, he refused. He kept on pestering him. And one time he said, he always refused, but he kept on pressuring him, so he said, let me think, give me 3 days to think about it. After he said that, he realized he made a big mistake, that it was a chil Hashem to even entertain the possibility that maybe, yeah, he would want to convert. He thought it was a chil Hashem, so he refused to come. So then the officers, they forced him, they picked him up, they brought him before the bishop, before the king, whoever it was, and he said, how come you didn't come? So he said, my tongue that has said such a horrible thing that I should entertain the possibility of thinking about it for 3 days, it should be cut out. I accept upon myself death. My tongue should be cut and I should die. So the bishop said, your tongue...
He said it.
What?
The bishop said.
So the bishop said the other way. The bishop says, the tongue didn't do anything wrong. It's the body that didn't come. You refused to come to me. You refused to come to me. So basically they cut off his limbs, one limb at a time. And he was a very great Kiddush Hashem, and he came back the next day, Rosh Hashanah, he was brought to the Beis HaKnesset. They put him in a special box, a special location, and he composed the piyut of Unesana Toikef. He then disappeared. Veinenu. Legend has it that he just disappeared. The Malach came and took him to Shemayim. He came back in a dream to one of his Talmidim, and he taught him the Nusach, and it was accepted in the entire Klal Yisrael. Okay, there's just one point I want to make. It says, V'seishev Olav Be'emes. Now, this is a vart that I'm very fond of. I always like to repeat this vart in different contexts, and here is one context where you can repeat the vart. When you blow shofar, what is the sound of the shofar? We know that there are only 22 possible sounds. Well, we don't know really how to pronounce all the letters. There's a vase and a bays and a vase and a rimmel and a gimel and a thuf and a tuf. Mm-hmm. There are many variations. All the various possible sounds, possible syllables, sounds are present in the letters of the aleph bays. So if I were to ask you, if someone were to ask you, tell me when they blow the shofar, to what letter? In which one of the 22 letters of the aleph bays does the sound of the shofar fall? Is it the aleph? Doesn't sound like an aleph. Is it the letter zayin? I don't think so. What letter of the aleph bays is the sound of the shofar? So it's a fair shugumar. The Gemara in Masechta Moed Kan talks about a person who did a very big avera, and the Bezdin wanted to put him in shamta. and then they did put him in Shamta, and then they wanted to release him from Shamta, and the Gemara says, can we release him? But the Shamta, the Chem was for 30 days. For 30 days, he can't talk to this guy. The Bez decided we want to release him. So they questioned, could they release him prematurely? So the Gemara's conclusion is yes. And the Gemara says that in ancient times, the way they would put a person in Shamta was, they would go to the town square, and they would blow a shofar. And when they would blow the shofar, it was like basically a kol korei. Everyone should come here, we have a important announcement to make. So the Gemara says, betut asar, betut shorei. They put a person in Shamta by blowing the shofar, and the way the Gemara describes the blowing of the shofar is with the term tut. Tut. Why the word tut? Because the Gemara is depicting the sound of the shofar. The Gemara is writing in letters the sound of the shofar. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch does the same thing. And the way the Gemara describes the sound of the shofar is tes vav tes. Tut. Tut. It's the letter tes. When you blow a shofar, it's not the letter tov, it's the letter tes. Tess. This is the way, and that's why. How many kolos do you sound in that Torah?
Nine.
Tekiya yom tenua v'havarta. In that Torah, only 9 sounds. We don't know what the true is, so we have to blow 100 sounds. But it's only 30 sounds. 30, which we turn into 100. It's only 9 sounds. How long is a sound? How long is a tekiya?
9
short sounds. What is a tura? 9 short sounds. Everything is 99999. Why is everything 99999? It's a lucky number? Why is it 9? It's because?
Emes.
It's because the tekiya is the sound test, too. Test toif. What do you mean, Mavakish? Fayar lekim eskol asher osa, when Hashem created the world. Hayoim haras oilam. Hayoim yamim amishu. It's Tishrei, Aleph Tishrei. Hashem, fayar lekim eskol asher osa, vihinei toif noid. Toif. Toif. Test is toif. Represents toif. What is emes? What is the gematria, the mispar koton of emes? Aleph is 1. What is mem? Mem is 40. Drop the 0. When you drop the 0, it's 4. What is tough? What is tough? 400. Drop the zeros. 4. What's 4 plus 4 plus 1? 9. 9.
Because MS. Is the only
MS. When is Hashem become Melech? So now we understand, have a greater appreciation, a much greater appreciation of what it says in the Nusach of the Sana Taikev, the Seishev Olav the Emes. You should sit upon your throne, the Emes. We're Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the blowing of the Shofar. The blowing of the Shofar is Kula Tess. It's Tess, Tess. Everything you look at the Shofar, it's the number 9. No matter what you look at, the sound, even the shape looks like a letter Tess. Right? You look at a Shofar, it also looks, has the shape, it has to be Kofof. When the Shofar is Kofof, it's Mamish the Ois Tess. Everything about the Shofar is Tess. Toiv. Vayaro lekim es kol asher osa vihine toiv. Tekiya gedoyla is toiv me'oid. Toiv me'oid. The Meila, that's what it means, be'emes. The side of Tekiya Shofar is emes. Emes is emes. Raglayim all comes back to the number 9.
Only number that
states
9, no matter how many times you multiply.
Yeah.
What?
9, no matter how many times you multiply.
Still 9.
Yeah. Still 9, okay. 9 is a very powerful number. It all comes, it all folks. Okay. Let's go to another idea. Okay, in the Sana Taikev, we mentioned that life is Kitzeloi there. Okay, life is Kitzeloi there. Okay, where is the Kitzeloi there? Okay, Adam Yisoide Meyafkar Rabbi, so Adam Yisoide Meyafar. The seifa meyafar, the seifa can have an actual yavi lachman marshal kacheres hanishbar kitzitz yavesh or kitzitz level kitzel oyver. That's a beautiful medrash. Okay, I'm not telling, not giving you the love. I just want to just point out the medrash. I don't have any deep insight into the medrash, but the medrash says there are 4 types of tzel. There are 4 types of shade. The first and the most significant type of shade is the shade of a wall. out in the sun, let's say the sun is shining, and there's a big wall, the wall of China. Okay, the wall, or the Berlin Wall. You have a big wall.
Okay, you have a wall,
and the sun rises. The sun rises on one side of the wall. So the wall provides shade, right? If the sun's on the other side of the wall, the sun is in the east, and the wall is over here, and you're in the west, so the wall's going to provide shade. That's one type of shade. The second type of shade is, but that's also titzelai there. How long is that shade going to last? When the sun comes to the other side of the wall, it's all over. That's it. No more is there shade. So therefore, the shade is just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. It's predictable. You know what's going to happen. The second type of shade is the shade of a tree. It's a nice hot day. You go underneath a tree and there's some branches. The tree provides shade. The third type of shade the Medrash refers to is the shade of a bird. A bird flies over you, big bird.
Yeah.
Bird flies over you, the bird also provides shade. And the fourth type of shade is the shade of the wings of a bee, of a devora. I'm not giving you any elaboration, I just want to explain this message. There's a bee. Then basically the Medrash says there are four, and a human being's lifespan is compared. There are four different types of people. Compared to the shade, and each type of shade is more fleeting and more is weaker as it goes. The shade of a wall has a mila, in that it's of substance. No, it's a real shade. The wall is there, the wall's protecting you. It's also predictable. I know that at 9 o'clock in the morning it's going to provide shade, and until 12 o'clock it's going to provide shade. At 12:01, that's it, already the sun already reaches, it reaches.
The sundial.
The sundial, you know, it's predictable.
Yeah.
It's predictable. The shade of a wall is significant and predictable. Some people are zoicha to live lives where they know where they're going. You know, tzaddiki, people, there are people that are blessed to have a life where, to some degree in their life, they have a plan. And they have a mahalich, the shemrei Torah mitzvahs, Hashem gives them yishuv hadas, but it's still temporary. You know that nothing lasts forever. There's no substance, shade is shade. There's no substance, but at least it provides a purpose for the time that it's around. The shade of a tree is much weaker, because the branches, they blow in the wind. And if there's a strong wind, the shade's not going to, the branch will be pulled out of alignment, and the rays of the sun will come in. Even when the branches are all there, sometimes some rays of sun, it breaks forth, and it's not as the thickness of the shade is not, the substance of the shade is not as of high quality. Unfortunately, there are people whose lives are even weaker. The third madrega is the shade of a bird, which is mamish fleeting. A bird may pass over you. Okay, so for 3 seconds you have some shade, but it's gone. It's gone. And the shade of a bee is so insignificant. A teeny little creature, what's it worth? It's not even a mashu sheba mashu. You know, it's interesting, maybe that's what it alludes to. We eat honey. Dip the apple in honey. There are at least 1,000 perushim why we dip honey. According to the Medrash says there are four types of shade. There are four types of shade. When you dip the apple in the honey, where did this honey come from? From the bee. Ah, the bee provides shade when the bee is flying. And that's the shade that the Medrash says, Kitzel Oiver. Life is so fleeting. It's so transient. It's nothing. If you're lucky, it's like a Kitzel Machayma of a tree. But unfortunately, for many, life is nothing more than the shade of a bee. So we dip the apple in the honey, this is a zeicher to the tzel oiver. But there is one positive, and that's a very negative thing, very, very, very frightening thing to say. But on a positive note, the Mefarshim say tzel is bigamatria. What's tzel bigamatria?
120.
90 plus 30 is 120. So it's also saying, even though it may be true that life is a fleeting moment, like the shade of a bee, but if you're lucky, you can live 120 years. So, you know, it has both. As long as you do the right thing, you can be the most, you can make the most of what Hashem has given you in this world. Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem is your shade. That's nearest the positive shade, 120. Okay, let's go to another idea, another quick idea. There is a custom that when the Shliach Tzibor, when he's during Kiddusha, says, Ayei Mekoyim Kivodo. Mayor, I have here a joke for you that you're going to love. You're going to love this? I hope you're going to like it. I can't say it. Ayei Mekoyim Kivodo. Ayei Mekoyim Kivodo. So it's supposed to, they don't do this today in most places, but the Shliach Tzibor is supposed to be Marech, sing a melody, a long melody when he says Ayei, in order to give the Tzibor time to recite the Yehi Ratzai. Okay, so you have a choice. We spoke about this a few times. You have a choice. Okay, what's the choice? You can be mispelled for one of three things. Either you can be mispelled for Oysher Muflug, wealth, Parnasa, Oysher Muflug, look in the Siddur, or you can be mispelled for Bonim Tzadikim, children who are tzaddikim, or Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, I once told you this, that Rav Chutner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, when he would interview a new Talmud, this is the legend, I don't know anything about this, but the legend is when he would interview a new Talmud coming into the yeshiva for the new Zmani, when he wanted to interview to see if he wanted to take him into the yeshiva, he would ask him this question. When it comes Rosh Hashanah and the Shad says, Ayei, what are you going to be, what are you going to say? Well, from the three, which one are you going to say? And that would trigger a discussion. You know, Talmud, oh, it's a good question. What should I do for Bonin, for children? I'm not married. I don't want, for the future. Oh, you're looking for the future. You know, whatever it's a trick question. Whatever you say, it's a very good topic of discussion, whatever you say. So the question is, what's the big deal? Why don't you just misspell for all three? Because
the chazan can't do that long.
Okay, so there is a rule that you're not supposed to ask it too much. When you're in the spalel, you're supposed to limit your tefillas. The fast, if we have to focus on one thing. But the farshim do say that it's not really so, because how many days do we say ayay? We say ayay three times. First day Rosh Hashanah, the second day Rosh Hashanah, and on Yom Kippur.
See, no, but on Yom Kippur
some do it all the time. You do it three times Yom Kippur. So then it doesn't work out. But since some only do it, I only have time for Musaf, because Shachris and the Nila, they do it very quickly. You don't dwell upon it. But Musaf, you dwell upon it. So the truth is, you have a chance to ask for all three. The first day Rosh Hashanah, you choose one. The second day Rosh Hashanah, you do the second. The third day Rosh Hashanah, you do the third. Now the question becomes, what do you do first? That's the question. What's your priority? Okay, what do you ask for first? Now, some said the word ayay.
Well, Gamliel Rabinowitz told me,
yeah,
that a bocher, because I asked for my son, he says that you should ask for bonim tzaddikim.
Yeah.
So you're getting all three in one shot.
Why? Need parnasa?
There's no way somebody's going to marry you if you don't have money. So you're going to get money. You're going to get Ruach HaKodesh because you're asking for one thing, and you're going to have the children.
And the children. Okay, so one includes them all. So if you were a Talmud in Chaim Berlin, this is what you would say. It's a good topic of conversation. Okay, now enough of the joke. Before we get to the more serious joke is, we have a principle that when you are mispalel, tefillah oise ma mechza. Tefillah does half. There's a rule that if you mispalel, tefillah does half, but the other half, there's no guarantee. But at least that's it. There was once a person who was a meridik bal gaiva, noyed of oyim. The gaiva was off the charts. So they asked him, where does the gaiva come from? So he said, because on the Yom Narama, I'm mispalel on the ayay, I'm mispalel for Ruach HaKodesh. And tefillah, oise mechza. So all I got was the Ruach.
Hey. Not bad.
There's only one guy like that?
You got it? Mayor, you like it? Okay. Okay, the Ruach is, the Ruach is the gaiva. Ruach is the haughtiness, the arrogance. Okay, but some say that the word ayay really is Rosh Hashanah of all three. That's why it's an ayay. Aleph is Aleph.
I like the gematrias.
How is the ayay all three? I forgot already. Okay. Okay, how is the ayah all three? Okay, you know that now, by the way, Ruach HaKodesh means Nevuah. How do we know Ruach means Nevuah? Sarah. Kola Shetoyma. Shema B'Koyla. The coil of the Shofar, the coil of the Shofar is the coil of Ruach HaKodesh. Because coil in Tanakh usually refers to Ruach HaKodesh. Kola Shetoyma Sarah, Shema B'Koyla. It's the Kriya Satara in Rosh Hashanah. Shema B'Koyla. Koyla, there was, what did she know? I want to drive out Hagar. Why do you want to drive out Hagar? Ruach HaKodesh. Shema B'Koyla. So when we blow the shofar is also it's the coil shofar. It's also a partial bakasha of Ruach HaKodesh. Ayeh is Rosh Tevis. Aleph is Oichel. Oichel is Parnasa, food. Parnasa. The Yud is Yeladim. That's the banim. And the Hey is Hasaga, which is Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, it's a little bit of a drush, but it refers to all three. Okay, let me just. Okay, Be'ein Me'elitziyosha. Let's just do one more thing. Be'ein Me'elitziyosha. Okay, what is the translation of Be'ein? What is the simple words? This is a very, very popular tefillah. Be'ein Me'elitziyosha. In the event, we say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, in the event that there is no Melitz Yosher, an advocate. Melitz is an advocate. Yosher, a good. In the event, Ribbono Shel Olam, there are no good advocates coming forward in Shemayim to defend us, Mul, to respond to the Magid Pesha, to the Satan. The Satan always has what to say. He's the Magid Pesha. Then you, Hashem, Tagid, you, Hashem, should speak up Yaakov, on behalf of Yaakov Avinu and Klal Yisrael, dvar the words of Chayku Mishpat, the matter of Chayku Mishpat, of law, Tzadkein b'Mishpat, Hamelach HaMishpat, and make us righteous to Mishpat. What exactly does this mean? Okay, so let me first tell you a drush before we tell you pshat. The drush is we had this before in Koheles. Ein means ayin. The ultimate Melitz Yosher for a person is the midah of humility. If a person makes himself into an ayin, u'moisar ha'odah min ha'behema oyin. So what did we learn? What was the drush? The advantage of man over animal is that man has the ability to humble himself. An animal has no hasaga of humility. It's survival of the fittest. One animal will eat up another animal. That's the way it is. A human being was blessed with the concept, with the ability to humble yourself. Umoisar ha'adam in adehima is the koyach of oyin. Make yourself into a nothing. Humility. Gam b'malchusoy noilad rosh. Yosef, David, when they were kings, they humbled themselves. They behaved in a way. Gam even b'malchusoy, they made themselves as if noilad, as if they were born as poor people. They made, which we interpreted, Rashi interpreted to mean, they conducted themselves as if they were just humble people. So that's what the positive means over here. It's a very beautiful drush. The Be'ein is the Melitz Yosher. This is the Melitz Yosher against the Magid Pesha. That's what the expression means. The more a person, the Melitz Yosher, the advocate of a human being, is the Be'ein, which means the Ayin. The expressions of humility that a person has shown throughout the year, that will be for him the Melitz Yosher, Mul, to respond to the Magid Pesha. To the Magid Pesha, to the Satan that's been catching upon us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guarantee this. Tagid liYaakov v'Achayku Mishpat, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will support Yaakov this law. Devar Achayku Mishpat, this law that humility conquers all. And through this, we will be justified in Mishpat HaMelech HaMishpat. It's a very beautiful drush in main Me'emech. Poshep Shat, Be'ein Melitz Yosher Mul Magid Pesha. So the answer is, we do mitzvahs even though we don't understand the mitzvahs. Chokum Mishpah means why do we do mitzvahs? We do mitzvahs because Hashem told us to do mitzvahs. Do we really understand the mitzvahs? No, we accept. the Satan tells the person is mekadrig against Klal Yisrael, they did Averos. Why did you do the Avera? We don't have an answer. We have no defense. We have no defense as to why we are guilty. The defense is silent because there's nothing to say. We acknowledge that we're guilty. The only zuchus we have is just like we have no response as to why we do averos. We have no explanation why we do mitzvahs. We do mitzvahs 100% because you told us to do the mitzvahs. Do we really understand why we do? We go daven mincha. We do any mitzvah you do. Hashem told us to do the mitzvahs. So we do the mitzvah. It's a chayk u'mishpat. We do the mitzvah. The fact that we go through the motions and we do what we're supposed to do, that itself is the ultimate zuchus against the magid pesha, the satan, that silences us when he tells us that you've done averus, and we have nothing what to defend ourselves. Just like we have nothing what to say why we do averus, but we also have in favor zelu mazeh. There's nothing you can say against us with regard to our mitzvahs because we also do mitzvahs 100% l'shem shemaim. So in a situation when there ain't melitz yosher mul magid pesha, when there is no melitz yosher to respond to the satan, then Hashem, you will respond tagil Yaakov devar. That they have chok u'mishpat. They do mitzvos for no reason other than to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that will be a zuchus to be tzadkein li ba'mishpat ha'melech ha'mishpat. Okay, there's more things, but we'll leave that in Yitzchem for tomorrow.